What a blessed evening, right? So, brothers and sisters, for tonight's message in English, I have an encouraging word for you. And you find this word in 2 Timothy chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles with you, I'll invite you all to open them up to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we'll read from verse 3 to verse 9. Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted. And I will be filled with joy when we are together again. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Louise and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord, and don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserve it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. Amen. 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 Brothers and sisters, I thank God for this blessed evening we had so far. Beautiful moments of fellowship with him, but also with each other, right? And I tell you what, I'm not sure, and I don't know how much longer we have this grace and this freedom to come here together, to worship together our Lord whenever we want. Now, some of you are looking at me and thinking, what is he talking about? In what country does he think we are living in? Don't think that far, because in these times we're living in, it can happen anytime and anywhere. In fact, just remember 2.5, or in March, 3 years back when the pandemic hit, right? There was a time, quite a long time, when we did not have this freedom to come here together and to serve together our God. But you know what? It does not always have to be something as big as a pandemic, as a war, maybe as an earthquake like it was now in Turkey. No, in these days we're living in, there are so many distractions around us. Little things, small things, maybe like a sport event like the Super Bowl. But tonight, it's a night of grace, a night of freedom, and I'm really grateful for everyone's presence here tonight, and I'm even more grateful for God's presence tonight in this place. And we felt his presence during the time of worship, during the time of prayer, when Brother Aronash was serving the Lord. And I just encourage you to enjoy and continue in the presence of the Lord. And let's see what else the Word of God has to tell us tonight. So, he found us in this world. He found us and he saved us from the way we lived before in this world. We can read that in Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. He came and saved us. Now, very briefly to remind you what saved means. Saved means that he freed us from sin. He freed us from death and from hell. Yes? And after he saved us, God has made us another holy calling. He called all of us to serve. It is God who saved us and chose us for his holy work. Now I want to ask all of you, do you remember the day when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Did you notice something on that day? Did you notice that when you accepted Jesus as your Savior, you did not go right away to heaven? Well, apparently God has some work for us to do here, right? So, first of all, he wants us to realize that he saved us from hell. And then he wants us to realize that he saved us to a life of service. Please look again to verse 9 from our main text. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about our calling to serve. And the title of my message tonight is Serving God Effectively, because God wants us to serve effectively, and he wants all of us, brothers and sisters, to be an active part of his church. And that's why he called you, and that's why he called me to serve him. Now, maybe there are some people here tonight who are thinking, well, Emmanuel, of course, you are a pastor. It makes sense. Of course he called you to serve. Of course he called you to the ministry. But you and I are just as called as one another. All of us are called by God to serve, brothers and sisters. Now, maybe tonight there are some people here who believe that, I don't know, I think Emmanuel Church has enough servants. I mean, there are a lot of people who can preach. I think the worship team, they have enough singers. Sunday school, I think they're good. All positions are occupied. The ushering ministry is working just well. And by the way, if you feel that you want to serve in the ushering ministry, you can talk with me after church, because we are looking all the time for new people who want to serve in that ministry. So maybe there are even some people tonight here who believe they don't have a calling to serve. Don't believe that. And maybe there are even some people tonight here who say, I don't have time to serve the Lord. Right now I'm on a point in my career where I have to focus 110% on my career. But brother, you know what? Call me again in 3 months, in 6 months. No, I promise you, next year if you call me, I will come and help. I will come and serve. And that's how we create all kinds of excuses. So if you have an excuse tonight in your life that stops you or that holds you back to serve the Lord, I want to encourage you, don't tell this excuse to no one of us anymore. If you have an excuse tonight that holds you back, then tell it to Jesus on the bloodstained cross, because he served us to the point of death, brothers and sisters. And I believe that God, who saved all of us here tonight, he also called all of us to serve him. And that's how I understand verse 9 from our main text and a lot of other verses from the Bible. And you know what? The devil, he does not like this idea at all, because the devil, he does not like serving people, but he loves unemployment. Unemployed people, yes? And even though the unemployment rate in the USA today is, I think, 3.4%, brothers and sisters, at church, there is no unemployment rate. It is 0%. Every one of us are called to serve. Amen. In fact, the Bible tells us, for we are God's fellow workers. So in the few verses that we read in our main text, in those verses, we see how Apostle Paul encourages Timothy. Back then, it was a time of persecution. Timothy, a young man, he was discouraged, right? And I really love here how Paul approaches Timothy. Look again to verse 4, where Paul tells him, Timothy, I remember your tears as we parted. Verse 5, he tells him, Timothy, I remember your genuine faith. So in other words, Paul tells Timothy, Timothy, you have extraordinary qualities within you. You have a calling from God. You are called by God to serve, Timothy. And that's what I remember about you. But Timothy, now I want to remind you of something. Look to verse 6. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. And then in the following verses, we see a few obstacles coming up that prevents Timothy from serving the Lord. And I really believe that the devil uses the same methods, the same obstacles, even today, even in our lives. So my first point tonight is, the first obstacle I want to talk about, you'll see it in verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. The biggest obstacle in our life as a servant, brothers and sisters, is fear. Fear is our biggest enemy. Fear is our faith's biggest enemy. It weakens our faith and it stops us from serving the Lord full of joy. So if you're afraid today, if you're struggling with fear, I want to tell you that fear does not come from God. Also, Paul says in Romans 8:15, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons and daughters by which we cry out, Abba, Father. We received a spirit of adoption. And not only that, look back into our main text to verse 7. We also received a spirit of power. We also received a spirit of love and a spirit of self-discipline. And because I just said we received a spirit of love, then let's see, because I'm really curious what also Apostle John has to tell us about this topic, about fear and about the spirit of love. Listen to that. I really love this verse in 1 John 4:18. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we are not fully experienced his perfect love. Brothers and sisters, do we remember Romans 5, verse 5? That God poured his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And not only the spirit of love. Look again to our verse 7. Paul says there that we also received a spirit of power. And every time I hear that we received a spirit of power, it immediately reminds me of the word that Jesus said in Acts 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You will serve. How? Telling people about me anywhere. One more time, brothers and sisters. Fear makes us weak. Fear takes all the power away from us and stops us from serving the Lord effectively. And you know what? In some cases, fear pushes us that far that all we want to do is just hiding like Gideon. But thank God that he sent an angel. And what did the angel said to Gideon? Gideon, God is with you. Be brave. Be courageous. And God's people are called to be full of power and filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Psalm 84:7, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. Oh God, take away all the fear from Emmanuel Church. Free us from the spirit of fear and give us courage to serve you effectively, guided by the power of, by the spirit of power and the spirit of love. Amen? So you see here that Paul encourages the young Timothy to be steadfast, to be devoted. He calls him to spiritual courage, to spiritual bravery, yes? And tonight, God calls you and God calls me to do the same thing. So all I can say here anymore is, God help us and God be with us. Amen? Amen? A second obstacle I found in our main text, and I'm really sure that the devil uses this obstacle even in our lives today. You find this one in verse 8. Never be ashamed to tell others about the Lord. So the second obstacle, brothers and sisters, is shame. And I really believe that in our days, there are a lot of Christians who are ashamed to tell their friends, their neighbors, their colleagues about God. They're afraid to tell them that they are Christians. And we have a really good example in the Bible in Matthew 26, 69 to 75. I won't read it. I encourage you to read this at home. But we all remember Apostle Peter, right? Apostle Peter, he was afraid. He was full of fear. And I think that he was also ashamed that he was one of Jesus' disciples. That's why he denied him three times. And this example is a very encouraging example for us, because later on we see how God restored him. We see how God filled him with the Holy Spirit. John 21, 15 to 17. In this passage, we see how he declares how much he loves the Lord. In verse 17, we see how he says, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And this big change or this big transformation was an authentic one. It was a real one, because that happens when God rehabilitates you, when God fills you with the Holy Spirit. And we can see that in Peter's life later on the day of the Pentecost, in Acts 2, 13 to 14. In verse 13, here we see that the people were laughing, they were making fun of them, right? And Peter, instead of being ashamed again, what is he doing now? He stands up, and he held a pretty rough speech, full of courage and full of power. And I really encourage you to read this chapter at home. Because in the end, you see that 3,000 people accepted Jesus as their Savior. But still, I want to read something about Peter's courage so we can really see that there was no sign of fear and no sign of shame anymore. Acts 4, 19 to 20. But Peter and John replied, "Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard." So they told him to stop talking about the name of Jesus. Any sign of fear? Any sign of shame? No. They told them, "We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen." There was power. And there was courage. So, Emmanuel Church, I ask you, us, to be ashamed of the Lord, to be ashamed that we are his children? No way. I will never be ashamed to tell anyone that I'm a child of God. God help us all. Amen? So not only that Paul encourages Timothy to not be ashamed, he also gives himself as an example in verse 12. He says, "For this reason, I also suffer these things, but I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed." And you know and I know whom we have believed and whom we believe, right? And that's why we should not be ashamed. And my third point, the third obstacle that stops us from serving the Lord effectively, you'll find this one in 1 Timothy 4:14. Also, Paul tells here to Timothy, "Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you." So the third obstacle, brothers and sisters, is neglection. If you neglect something, that means that you ignore it. You don't care about this thing. And neglection, not only that it is an obstacle in our lives, I think that neglection is also a really big sin. Because listen to what Prophet Amos says in chapter 6, verse 1. Woe to those who are carefree in Zion. So in other words, woe to those who do not care, who are not implicated, who are bored, who are without worries in Zion, in the house of the Lord. Let me give you one more homework, please, if you allow me. Please read at home Isaiah chapter 32, 9 to 14. In this passage, you see what the Bible tells us about carelessness and about people who do not care. And I want to read just one verse from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. What makes us think we can escape if we ignore this great salvation? How can we not care, brothers and sisters? You tell me, how can we not care? So maybe until now, during this sermon, you said at the first point, yeah, the first point was not for me. I'm not afraid. God bless you. Maybe at the second obstacle, you said, shame? No, I'm not ashamed. But maybe here at the third point, maybe the third point was for you. Maybe you did not care until today about the gift that God gave you. And don't tell me you did not receive any gift from God, because God gave all of us gift. He gave all of us special abilities. And you know what? He did not give it to us with no reason. No, he gave all of us a gift to serve. Please put one more verse on the screen, Ephesians 4, 16. He, Jesus Christ, makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing full of love. You see, all of us have to serve. And also Apostle Paul tells to another of his disciples in Titus 2:14, he gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us and to make us his very own people. And what kind of people? People totally committed to doing good deeds. So I want to close here tonight, and let me read at the end three more verses, please. Hebrews 6, 10 to 12, and then we'll close. For God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers as you still do. Our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts, in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance. Amen. So may God bless us all with a strong desire to serve him, with a desire to serve him together in unity from the bottom of our hearts, with humbleness and with joy, but with no fear, with no shame, and with no carelessness. Amen? Amen. May God help us all, and may God fill us all with courage. God bless you. Amen. Amen.